The Mincing Rascals podcast is produced here at WGN Radio, a panel of people who care about Chicago. I am the master of ceremonies, and then there's some smart folks that chat with us. We do this on Wednesdays, and another episode will drop tomorrow. One of the panelists, of course, is Eric Zorn, the longtime columnist for the Chicago Tribune and now the publisher of a newsletter called the Picayune Sentinel. Eric writes and talks about a variety of topics. We like to check in with him Tuesdays at this time. It's Tuesday at this time. Hi, Eric. How are you?
Hey, John. Good. How are you?
Good. I'm going to begin the conversation by finishing a tangent that we were on last week, and that was, when your team is lousy, is it okay to switch allegiances? You wrote temporarily, I didn't remember that part of the conversation, and root for a winner. Why did you ask that, and what did you get?
Well, I asked that because the Bears at the time were 4-5, now they're 4-6, and they're my, you know, my favorite football team. And then my Michigan Wolverines, my alma mater, they're 5-5 right now, and just having a mediocre season after winning the national championship earlier this year, much earlier this year. So it's like, you know, I watched the games, and there's not really feeling a lot of passion for either of those teams. So I thought, well, you know, how about rooting for, in the case of college football, the Indiana Hoosiers? I looked around for a team to root for. They're doing really well. They're undefeated.
Can you do that? But say you do that. You find a team that's a good story. What's your heart tell you? I mean, is that fun, or are you watching it like it's a workout, and I know this will be good for me, but I'm really not enjoying it?
Well, I'm not a gambler. So when I watch games, I have to find a rooting interest. I can't just watch neutrally, like, oh, let's hope for some good plays. Let's hope everybody has fun or something. That I want to root for one of the teams. And so deciding why I'm going to root for a team and how I'm going to root for the team is an important part to me of just watching sports. You know, Indiana, both my grandparents taught there as professors, and my mother graduated from there. And so I thought, well, okay, I can transfer my allegiance to Indiana. They're undefeated, and it's going to be really fun to root for them. Maybe they'll beat Ohio State this weekend. Probably not, but maybe they will. And go on to the 12-team tournament at the end of the season. It's kind of exciting. Games really matter. The games that Michigan are playing don't matter at all. They may beat Northwestern coming up, and then they may end up in some second-tier bowl game, and I don't really care anymore. The Bears are not going anywhere at all, clearly. And the Detroit Lions, which is the team that was closest to where I grew up as a kid, are I think they've had one loss now. Maybe they're 9-1 or
they're a
something
fun
like
team.
They're a really fun team to watch. And it's like, so to transfer my rooting allegiance this year to the Lions, I will be rooting for the Lions over the Bears on Thanksgiving. And people are dismayed
you
about
will
that.
Be? But you will be?
Yeah. Yeah.
Will
who cares
really?
About
that? You are saying that, but when push comes to shove, when it's when Santos is lining up for a field goal with 3 seconds on the clock against Detroit on Thanksgiving Day, do you want him to make that for the win or not?
I don't think I do. I think I'm ready for the Lions now. And next year I'll be back. But I've jumped onto the bandwagon for the Lions, because what fun is it to root for the Bears? They don't terribly stink, but they're not really very good. They've lost all these.
This was our news click yesterday. The Bears lost to the Packers, but they played better. Would you say the glass is half empty or half full? I said half full. What do you say?
I would say half full from that game, that Caleb Williams showed some growth, and that last drive until the final moments of it, of course, when the field goal was blocked, was looking pretty good. So I think the team is now pointed in the right direction, but it's so too late for this season. Like I said, these kind of rooting interests, you can switch them back when the season starts. Like, I was rooting for the White Sox to lose. I had switched over to the White Sox.
All White Sox fans were.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun to watch them head toward the most losses in Major League Baseball history. That was the only thing that was saving that season from just being completely boring. So yeah, I'll be rooting for the Lions. I hope the Lions go to the Super Bowl, where they've never been in their glorious, storied history. And I'll be rooting for the Indiana Hoosiers to make the playoffs. And that makes that sort of brings more excitement to football Saturdays and Sundays than rooting for these mediocre teams. I had a form of a click poll myself. I asked, when your team is lousy, is it okay to switch allegiances temporarily and root for a winner? 59% said yes, it's more fun that way, and only 41% said no, a true fan is a diehard fan.
Yeah, I think I'm in the 59%, although I don't know if I can do it as easily as you make it sound. And one last note about Indiana, and that is Indiana? Who knew they had a good football program and would be sweeping the Big Ten? Boy, I'd like to see them beat Ohio State. I think America would.
Well,
and that as may be the only way they make it into the college championship tournament.
Right. People have been telling me, they're saying that if Indiana loses to Ohio State and it's their only loss of the year, because if they lose to Ohio State, they will probably not go to the Big Ten championship game. That'll probably be Ohio State against Oregon. And so Indiana will be a one-loss team, but it's quite possible that the bowl selection committee, the playoff selection committee, will decide that they're really not good enough, that some of these SEC teams, with Southeastern Conference teams with two losses, are arguably better teams. They've played tougher schedules and belong in that playoff. So it's a pretty important game. I think if Indiana holds them close, then I think they may have a shot. But it's going to be touch and go for them if they don't beat Ohio State. Who knew they had a good football team? They didn't. They have been bad since most of your listeners were born, pretty much. I mean, they were good in 1967. And that was the last time.
That's the last time they were. Yeah, I remember that. 67. Yeah. Good old Smith.
I literally do remember it, but I'm old. So, but they've been mediocre ever since.
Right.
And this year they have a new coach and a whole bunch of people from the transfer portal, and suddenly they're a good team, and it's been kind of fun to watch, even when they're beating Michigan.
Here's the new topic. 312, by the way, 312 says, "Come on, Eric, where's your integrity?" And 815 says, "What on earth is the matter with Eric Zorn? I've been a Cub fan since forever. Never would I consider not backing the Cubs." Okay, well, that's your opinion. That's Eric's opinion. When Bob Surratt and I talked a little bit about this morning, I said that it's easier to give up on a team when you feel like the team has given up on you. Enter the White Sox ownership. I don't know if the Bears are in the same boat, but there are some similarities in that people are very frustrated, not so much with the players as with the people that are running the ball club. Talk to me about the people running the city of Chicago. How weird was it to see a 50-0 city council vote against Mayor Brandon Johnson?
It was unprecedented, as far as I know. I've talked to city hall reporters and other people who've covered politics in the city, and no one can remember a mayor suffering a 50-0 defeat like that. And the thing is that it wasn't even really necessary, because the pushback that Mayor Johnson had been getting on his property tax had been so strong that he knew it wasn't going to go through. So this was, in some ways, just a show vote. This was the alderman saying, "Hey, we're all up on our hind legs now, Mayor. We see your approval ratings are down in the teens, and we sense the strength that gives us, that negotiating strength." And so they have this 50-0 vote, or nothing to 15, whatever, however you want to put it, rebuking the mayor. And then the mayor's office floated over the weekend the idea that, well, we've negotiated a compromise and we're going to reduce the property tax and we're going to fill it in with other forms of taxation, which are, some of them I don't even understand, like a cloud computing services tax, I think, is going to raise money. And so they put this out there. And then in the Sun-Times, we see that the Alderman Vasquez, who's one of the mayor's staunchest allies, is saying, like, no, this is that there has not been a deal brokered. This is Alderman Vasquez in the 40th Ward.
Yeah.
He said that the mayor's floating this trial balloon again, saying that they have come to a deal, that they've collaborated, come to a deal, is just not true. And then the mayor's spokespeople are pushing back, saying, we have 26 votes, we can get this budget through. But this is a really bad look for the mayor. Usually budgets pass in the city 48-2 or something. And if he's counting on eking through with a 26-vote margin, which I don't know if he's going to get, no alderman really wants to go on the record as having voted for a property tax increase, even though of all the ways of raising revenue, property taxes are maybe among the better ones, because they tend to hit richer people a little bit more than they tend to hit poorer people.
I wonder if people care about how the money is generated, if, in fact, money is generated. Like, okay, I didn't get a property tax, but now my garbage tax went up. Or when I save stuff to the cloud, I get nicked 0.5%. Oh, well, that's costly. You know, if you're taking money from me one way or the other, isn't that the bottom line, Eric?
It seemed to me to be the case, yeah. They're saying they're going to tax One of the things they call so-called Netflix tax, streaming services tax, where they're adding a couple percentage points to the tax that they charge on streaming services. That's one of the things that bothers me and it bothers a lot of people, which is, why is this transaction between me and Netflix based, I don't know where, why is that of any concern to the city? What does the city provide in return for me streaming the service? They're basically saying, we're going to tax you for this. It's like that Beatles song, The Tax Man. You take a walk, we'll tax your feet. That there's no logic to it, really. They just need the money. And I think what's going on here right now is there is a group of aldermen, no matter how big it is, who are saying, hey, look, how about cutting some expenses? Or how about meeting us in the middle here and saying, we're going to lay off some employees if you've got some redundancies, or institute some furloughs or some stronger hiring freezes or something. But Mayor Johnson refuses to think about reducing the city workforce, talking about that these are jobs that people have and so on. But that's, I think a lot of citizens are saying, and I feel this way about taxation, which is, if my tax money is being used fairly efficiently and wisely for the betterment of the city, I'm okay with it as long as it's not like huge. I think, if they're going to raise property taxes to boost the schools or pave the alleys or pave the streets or trim the trees, things like that, that has to be done. Pay the police officers, firefighters.
Yeah, but you also are up against, I think most people think all well and good, but maybe we are paying enough for all of that as it is. And maybe we ought to vivek the thing, which is a verb I just created, where you just say, okay, what do we need? $300 million? Divide that into the budget, and that's how many jobs we're going to cut. And it'll be rather indiscriminate and blanket, but you all figure it out after we do. I mentioned Vivek Ramaswamy because when asked about how he and Elon Musk would cut $2 trillion from the budget, they said, well, it's complicated, but it could also be very simple. And Vivek Ramaswamy said, take the federal payroll, tell all of the people that have an odd-numbered Social Security number, you're fired. And that would be half of the workforce.
Right.
Then take half of that, and now you're down to 25% of the workforce. And
Right. So, I think you said if your Social Security number ends in an odd number, you're fired. And then after you get those people out, then you say, and if it begins with an odd number, you're fired. Which is, but the thing is, like, just these across-the-board cuts, I mean, I'm not in favor of that. That's indiscriminate. You're going to cut programs that are really, really necessary, as well as cutting programs that may be superficial or redundant. I would like to see, if we're talking about cutting spending, I would really like to see it be done very surgically, where you're looking at programs that are wasteful or maybe outmoded or maybe overstaffed, and really take a close look. Because if you just say, okay, we're going to lop 10% off everybody's budget, some of these departments do really important work, and some of them do work that is arguably less important. So I'm not in favor of viveking. Is that the verb
it's
now?
It's a new verb I created. And by the way, Heather Cox Richardson today reminded the world that we get your point. It can be blanket and somewhat indiscriminate that way, and eventually it'll all settle down. But in fact, the order of the numbers in your Social Security number have meaning, and it wouldn't be random. You would actually be targeting people from certain areas more than others, and that just makes no sense. That's not a good idea. But if there's $2 trillion to trim from the tree, let's go ahead and find a way to do it. Ramaswamy really doesn't care about who gets cut, just as long as somebody gets cut. And maybe that's the sort of rough-edged knife that you're going to need with a budget like the city of Chicago has. Maybe we just ought to cut some folks.
No, I just disagree with that. I think that it has to be done carefully and thoughtfully and with an eye toward who's going to be suffering when you cut these programs. So in some cases, maybe nobody. Maybe it's a program to help people paint the underpasses of the bridges or something. I don't know. It seems to me like if you're going to be cutting indiscriminately, like I said, you go through, do that in your own household budget. Say, we're going to take 10% off our food. We're going to pay 10% less for energy. But maybe you could find some savings somewhere that amounts to a similar amount.
Meanwhile, it's really cold at night, and I'm thinking, maybe we should have cut more from our social service, from our media budget, from the heat.
Your liquor budget, John. Think about that.
No, I didn't say that. Eric, I'm out of time with you today.
We'll talk tomorrow.
We will continue this conversation and more on The Mincing Rascals. The podcast drops Wednesday afternoons. You can subscribe to Eric Zorn's Picayune Sentinel simply by emailing ericzorn@gmail.com. Thank you, Mr. Z.
Thanks, John.